God today. I just want to ask if God has laid anything on your heart today to share, this would be the time to do that. When we become the church God has called us to be, the Lord adds to their number, maybe weekly, maybe it'll become daily, as the Word says, as we continue to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is there any others? Yeah. Anyone else? As we continue to worship God and through the Word of God, if God is moving on your heart and you just want to pray or come to the altar and pray, that's fine too. God does what He wants to do in our midst, and we can't stop that. But I want to read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47 again this morning as we continue our study of what true membership looks like in God's church, what God has called us to do. And I think that most of you echo with me the desire that I don't want business as usual. I'm done with just coming and sitting in a pew and going through the motions week after week. God said in His Word, His kingdom's real, and He's called us out on a mission. And Acts has the recipe and the secret of a successful church, of a successful building of the kingdom of God, if we would surrender and submit ourselves and obey His Word. And as Bruce just read that passage this morning, "Search me, O God, see if there's anything wicked in me." That should be our prayer as we come this morning, Lord. God, we just pray that You would search our hearts with the power and the fire of Your Spirit. God, if there is anything in our lives that's blocking what You want to do through us, that You want to save souls, You want to disciple people, You want to see people one to Your kingdom, God, that You would reveal it to our hearts and You begin to remove those things, God. And Lord, I pray for Your healing power in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, I pray this morning for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we can understand Your Word, God, and so we can know how to live and we know how to apply this to our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What a powerful section of text. But yet this is what God has called us to be devoted to. And last week we spent significant time on the word devoted. And it is these three things in the first part of your notes that church membership devoted means I take it as a priority in my life. Number two, it's a way of life and it's a commitment. But I want to revisit that. But when we look at church membership as a priority, or in other words, participating in the body of Christ, studies have shown that it typically takes at least 2 months to form a new habit. Now, for some of us, to form a bad habit, it might take a day or an hour, a minute or second, if you're like me. But good habits, to undo the bad and get into the good, it takes over 2 months. So if active attendance in church meetings, in other words, being a part of God's church, doesn't consistently occur over a 2 month period, then it probably will never happen. If consistent involvement in the church of Jesus Christ does not consistently happen over a period of 2 months, it probably won't occur. In fact, for the rest of your life, it'll be hit and miss, it'll be skip all over the place, and it won't become a regular habit in our lives. As we move on, church membership is also a way of life. There's no such thing as a lone rain Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian who operates and lives by themselves. If you haven't been able to open up and share with a brother or sister or things that are going on in your life, then you missed out on what the body of Christ is all about. Because as we've been experiencing at Christ Community Church, when we get those things out of us, God begins to heal and do some radical transformations in our lives. And so to be devoted means to have that relational aspect. In other words, we have open homes and open lives. And this goes against American culture. This goes against what we are comfortable with in maybe a more rural setting. As growing up, everything was private. We just kept our own home private. You know, we wouldn't let anybody in the house and all this sort of thing because we didn't. Maybe someone would take advantage of it. Maybe someone would steal something from us. Or maybe someone would make fun of how we have our house or keep our house. Or maybe because I can't have the Taj Mahal. But the community of Jesus Christ is open homes and open lives. That's how the Church of Acts spread and was on fire, because from house to house, the gospel spread. That's devotion. Church membership is also a commitment. In other words, I'm willing to stick it out. And how many know that even in this past week that things are hard to stick out when you follow Jesus? Things get rough and things get tough, but those that carry it through to the end where God has called you to do. Now, there's a couple of things that I posted on here, but whoever always looks for greener grass on the other side will never be able to appreciate the green grass that was right under their feet. Now, I do this all the time. Now, I look at what someone else has, you know, their house, or for guys, it's cars. Man, if I could just get behind the wheel of that silver Corvette. If I could just have that. But you know what? We think that when we're serving God in the ministry, that because there's a spark of something over here, that then maybe I better go chase that and something is better is going to happen over here. And then we end up as dry as we always have been. Because where God calls you, that's where we need to be. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. It's green where you water it. If you don't like and you're discontent with your family situation, with your home life, with your church life, start watering with the Word of God, with active participation in God's body, in Christ's body. The grass isn't always greener. Go the right way. Sometimes the grass is greener on the other side because it's fake. This is AstroTurf, right? We look around Christianity today and there's lots and lots of AstroTurf. God has called you to bloom where God has planted you. Let your giftings and your calling start to come forth. This is what the word devoted means. When God has called us into a church, they devoted themselves to. They were committed. They weren't about to give up. And so we're going to start to look at the five purposes of what God has called us to do. And if the church is not fulfilling these five purposes, we've lost our ways. We've lost direction and we just kind of show up for Sunday and it's kind of business. Oh, are we going to have the cantata this year? Are we going to have this program? Oh, good. I'm glad we're having this program this year. And it's the same thing over and over again with very little results. Because God has called us to five things to focus on as the body of Christ, as we see modeled in the early church. And the first one, as he mentioned, he said they devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, what did Jesus tell the apostles? He said, the Holy Spirit's going to give you what to say. And it was through the apostles that we have this. We have the Word of God. See, a church that is not devoted to God's Word. David said in Psalms 119, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. So instead of our souls clinging to the dust, we have dusty Bibles. This word brings life. As we celebrate this season, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is about him. This is what God has called us to live out. And as members of God's church, we got to be devoted to home Bible study. We have to be devoted to formal teaching like you're getting now and to home groups and wherever you can get the Word of God. And you know the people that God is reviving, as I observe over years of ministry the most? These are the people that can't get enough of God's Word. They go to all the Bible studies they can. They're downloading sermons from other better preachers than your own pastor. Amen? Oh, okay. I didn't catch you there. God can speak through whoever he wants, but there are gifted ministers. It's right at our fingertips. Those are the people that are on fire for God because they're getting Tony Evans. They're opening up the scriptures and doing verse-by-verse Bible studies and my beautiful wife's class. I mean, they're just excited and blooming for Jesus Christ because of the Word of God. Members of God's church are devoted to the Bible, devoted to the Word. Get it in our lives. Daily devotions, Bible studies, all that you can get. You know, sign of a dead church is when we start say, oh, we got to go to Bible study tonight. There are things to unpack in this book about Jesus Christ that we ought to be thrilled about. No wonder the apostle or the disciples in the early church met every day because they couldn't get enough of the Word of God. They couldn't get enough of it. They got into the body of Christ and honored the Word of God. The next thing he mentioned there is not only were they devoted to fellowship, but also to teaching, or to Bible teaching, but also to fellowship. That means that they shared in community. They joint participation and relationships with one another. And it says that they had all things in common. In other words, they were in a unique situation after Pentecost. All these people have traveled from a long ways away. Let's imagine if they all traveled here from all the corners of West Virginia for a big festival. The Holy Spirit came and a bunch of people got saved. They didn't have any place to stay or live. So they put all their stuff together so that these folks could get discipled, so that they can grow in the Word of God and go back home and spread it. They did whatever it takes to sacrifice, to fellowship with one another. They joined hands together with one another. Now, what happens when we grow closer to one another in relationships? What are we going to see? What more are you going to see in Pastor Mike the closer you gather together in friendship? That's my fault, and I'm going to see Christian's faults. I'm going to see junk. I'm going to see things that I don't necessarily agree with or like, or this is not a part of my life, or this is not what I'm comfortable with, or this is not. But yet God has called the body to fellowship. And fellowship is not just eating a cookie before church and talking about the sports and how West Virginia did last week in football. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is coming together for the common goal of growing in our faith with Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, I have faults. Christian has faults, but we're spurring one another on, like the Word of God says, to grow in our faith with Him. So that's fellowship. It costs something. It costs something. Most people today don't want to give up anything. I just want my privacy. I want everybody to leave me alone. I have worked very hard. I have my house. I have everything is all put together. All my ducks are in a row. And if I invite someone else in, that's going to mess everything up. Fellowship costs something. The third thing that he's called us to, he says, they not only are devoted to that, but to the breaking of bread and prayer. True members of God's church are devoted to worship. And I just wanted to give you an autopsy of a dead church. Let's read the report. Toxic levels of church programs, materialism and workaholism, TV and extracurricular school activities were found in the body. Extremely low levels of prayer, Bible study, and passionate worship. There were blunt markings on the body that stated, I don't like all the music in church, it's too emotional for me. And there was a suicide note found on the body. I'd rather sit quietly and let others speak and pray and sing. There goes the deceased church. We just sang a song this morning, Here I Am to Worship, because you know worship doesn't only happen when we sing, but it's how we live our lives. But if we're coming to say to gather, to worship Jesus, we're talking about the King and the one and only. I mean, it's not a status quo thing. We're talking about the God who spoke the earth into existence. Doesn't that put a little chill in your body? Doesn't that do something in you as far as causing a move of surrender or a desire to get on your knees before God to express passionately worship? We're passionate people. God designed us to be that way. We go to games and we yell and holler and scream, but when it comes to God, there is a fear of the Lord, or not a fear of the Lord, a fear of man, excuse me, has come upon the body of Christ that keeps us from being joyful and expressive. Keeps us from worship. It consists of prayer. And when he talks about breaking of bread and prayer, it's what we did today. It's centered around the Lord's table. It is Christ-centered. It is people coming together to pray. When we worship and sing together, we're coming together to pray. Songs we sing, Here I Am to Worship, we're praying together to the one and only true God. And I want to encourage you as we partake of communion that says in the Word they did this daily together. So I want to encourage you to do one thing, to begin to do one thing as we look at what God has done in our lives, is to center our lives around the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the fourth thing is that they devoted themselves to ministry, and that leads right into worship, leads into using our gifts. Identify our gifts and how we might serve others. And the problem comes is that we start to focus on our gifts rather than the serving part of using our gifts. It's like, look at me, look at the gifts that I have and how great I am, and look what God did supernaturally through me. And the Corinthian church had a problem with that. They were all puffed up that they failed to see sin in their lives because they were all into the spiritual gifts, but were worshiping those instead of the reason why they had them was to serve one another in holiness and the fear and the reverence of God. The last thing, true members of God's church are devoted to evangelism. This puts the nail in the coffin of the deceased church. Is that when we're a church body, we say, well, you know, I'll bring them to church and then the pastor can do an altar call and they can come down and get saved there. That's not how the Great Commission works. He said it to all the disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So the way to know that if you're on fire for God and if you've been in the Word of God and if you've been in prayer is that it overflows and spills out into other people's lives. We sing that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, as a cute song for Christmas, but how about Go Tell It on the Mountain? How about Go Live It on the Mountain? How about allow the joy of the power of the Holy Spirit to spill out of our lives? So those are five things. But I want to look at how they did it. How did they grow in all five of these purposes? It says in the Word of God that they were together and day by day in verse 46, they met together a lot. Did I say that they met together a lot? They didn't just come to a program or a meeting. They wanted to get together because, you know, when we go to work tomorrow and something bad happens or we get in a bad mood because of something happens at home, you know why the church was so moving forward? It's because they had a meeting that night and they recentered on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by breaking bread together. They came into alignment again with the gospel. So they met every day. So how did they grow? What's the big secret? You want to know the big secret? Why were people added to the church daily in the early church? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? How much do you want to know the big secret? There we go. Somebody wants to know. One person wants to know. Do you want to know the big secret? They refocused their lives on Jesus Christ and His work on the cross every time they ate. I believe and I am convinced the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He has done is what brought unity in the church. It's what caused them to keep their focus because I walk out this door, I forget about communion, and then I start doing things and getting involved in things that I'm not supposed to be getting involved in. So come dinner time, it's not just, Jesus, thank you for this food. How about if we start to say, Jesus, thank you for your body and thank you for your blood. Take communion every time you eat together with your families and with this extended family. Recalibrate every time you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Recalibrate to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recalibrate to the forgiveness of sins and the realizing that I've been set free to live in the power of the gospel. This is not just a cute thing that we do with nice little cups on a Sunday morning once a month. This is a lifestyle. This is the secret. The more Jesus becomes Lord, the more Jesus becomes remembered in our daily lives, we recalibrate and focus. And I could go and preach until I'm blue in the face on this, but let's help each other do it. Let's start doing communion meals. Every meal, I challenge you to center, whether it's reading a scripture about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're dealing with fear in your life, you go to that verse where it says, that song we sing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. It says God has not called us to be in fear. That says in Romans chapter 8. But He's called us to the spirit of sons, whereby we cry, Daddy, Father. That recalibrates to the gospel. Why is God our Father? Jesus Christ died and made the way so that He could be our Father. Everything links back to the gospel. So, when the church becomes healthy, and when we start pursuing these five goals in our church body and in our church life, here's what happens. Number one, they are extremely sacrificial and giving. In other words, everyone's needs are met. I'm not talking about just money needs and physical needs. I'm talking about emotional needs. Anybody here get down? You came to church this morning maybe a little down and depressed and discouraged. There we go. There's some that didn't, so go meet the needs. Go pray for that brother and sister. You know, when we walk into these doors, drive into this parking lot, we ought to come in our spiritual Corvettes with our engines blaring. We ought to come in looking. We have our spiritual radars out. What needs can I meet today? I'm depressed today, but what needs can I meet today? We have our spiritual radars. Our deep, 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 deep. Of course. Why are we afraid to come up and give somebody a big old hug and pray over them right at the moment when we walk in the door? You had a bad week, brother? Let's go pray. God showed me this in my word, in my scripture this week that I was reading. Let me give this to you. A year ago, I battled with depression. Let me share this with you. See, if we become like that here, we'll become like that out there. When we go through a checkout line, there's going to be all kinds of experiences that we're going to have because they're going to see Jesus going, because our engines are already revving spiritually and we got our radars. Our checkout lady is about to cry. But pray over her. They're extremely sacrificial and generous. When the church becomes healthy, the people are animated with gladness. And that word gladness is a state of intensive joy, often implying verbal expression and body movement, like laughter, jumping, and leaping, and dancing. That's what the word gladness means. I mean, it was a hopping church in Acts. They were filled with gladness. You know, much like the little young lady, the little girl that was just over here. Some of you wish that you could just be up here. You don't care about what everybody thinks. Worship music is playing, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm just dancing away. But when we become grown-ups, we become too dignified. And we've sucked on far way too many lemons. And we've sat in our recliner for too long, so we're afraid if we dance, we might break a leg. Or if we're afraid if we laugh in church, somebody might put us in the closet and tell us, you can't do that here. I've been to some churches like that. They had a hard time laughing. I preached in one when I was overseas, and the whole sermon, I mean, for one, there's cultural barrier, but I just couldn't get anybody to smile. Finally, at the end, I mean, there's a little bit, the ice was starting to melt. We shouldn't be that way. Why would people want to be a part of that? Because I've been saved and redeemed. A healthy church starts to become animated with gladness. Three, when the church becomes healthy, the people become real. It says they broke bread together with what? A sincere heart. In other words, that the rocks, or opposite of stubbing the toe on the rock, everything is smooth. There's no inconsistencies. There's humility that's connected with a simple life. And so we have to choose whether we're going to be real or fake. So might as well throw away our fake religion, because it doesn't matter. When I come to church, I don't have to try to look spiritual to you. We don't have to look spiritual. If you're having a bad day, have a bad day. Be real about it. Let the body minister to you and you minister to somebody else. They were real. That's the number one thing people say of why they don't go to church today is church is full of hypocrites. They're right, it is. They have a lot of people trying to look down and, well, that's never happened in our family before. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. He said a bad word right out in the hallway. You mean to tell me that's never happened in your home or in your thoughts? Baloney. Bologna. When the church becomes healthy, the people are always praising God. They're continuous. It says they were praising God. They were excited. They were extolling God. They were singing praises and honor to God. Our homes ought to be an environment of singing and whistling, and if we meet with Jesus, it should be, or it will be, rather. If we have more of these kind of meetings like baptisms and this week and people getting saved, we have nothing to not praise God for. We should praise Him always. It says in the Psalms, I will enter into His gates with what? And I will enter into His courts with praise. And praise is verbal expression and appreciation of God. It's an exalting of its name. It's a hand clap. It's a shout of joy to the Lord. And when we squelch praise, the devil has his ways. Don't squelch it anymore. Don't squelch praise to God. When the church becomes healthy, the people enjoy living life together with other believers. We'll enjoy being together. And when we become healthy, we'll have a good reputation with people outside of the church. Because we'll no longer be hypocrites. We'll say, well, you know, they have their issues, but at least they're real about it. They don't try to hide it. I've never felt judged when I've walked among them. And when the church becomes healthy, the people have an acute awareness of God's presence and a reverence for God. In other words, it was just like the Old Testament when Moses would go into the tent of meeting and the glory of the God would come down and they would just, they couldn't get close to it. People were getting saved. 3,000 souls got saved. Later on, someone who lied to the church and said they were given their whole offering and only gave part of it was struck dead. That is the fear of the Lord that comes among the people of God when they see God moving in His presence, that He's a holy God, that He would dwell with us. So they were filled with awe. Are you filled with awe when you meet with God or when you come together in the body of Christ? If not, chances are it's not something wrong with your environment. It's something wrong with me, with ourselves. And the last thing is when the church becomes healthy, the people bear fruit and souls are saved. And ultimately, God gets the glory. I want to ask you today, is this what you really want with me? Do you really want God to get the glory? Do you really want to be a devoted church to Jesus Christ? I do. So God has called us today to devote ourselves to discipleship, fellowship, worship, ministry, and evangelism. I want to ask you today, what have you been holding back? What have you been holding back from Jesus? Will you commit yourselves to being devoted to Jesus Christ in all these areas and be willing to get help from brothers and sisters around? Say, you know what, I'm having a little bit of trouble in the area of discipleship. I have some emotional issues in my life that I need help with. Or I'm kind of shy and I'm having a little bit of trouble with fellowship and opening up my home to other people. Get help. Reach out. I'm afraid to worship. Well, I would tell you to start watching some of the children at church here. Say, I want to be like them. Because they haven't been tainted by the fear of man. Father, Lord, first of all, I say as a leader, as a pastor, there are so many ways that I need to grow in my life in these five areas. Lord, we come before you as a body. And we admit that. And we admit that we need your help. And God, our desire, the desire of our heart is to be like the church that experienced Pentecost. Lord, we want to see souls saved. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd move those areas of our heart that would keep us from surrendering to you. Lord, we want to be devoted. Lord, show us how to be devoted. Move upon us this week, God. I just pray, Lord, that all over in this room this week, we would become a communion-centered church, a Christ-centered church. Every meal, every moment, we would breathe the body and the resurrection, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. Lord, we ask to fill, that you'd fill us with your Spirit. just want to give you a moment to devote yourselves to God. Whatever area God is convicting you of today, just surrender that area to Him. Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God the praise.